you would turn with me in your Bible to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy, and in chapter 29. Before I read from the scripture, I want to do something that I've never have done before in my ministry. I want to read this to you. My father died in 1968. And I found this in his Bible that he carried for many years, and I've carried it in mine ever since then. This has been with me all different parts of the world, and I just want to share it with you because it does relate to what we've been hearing in this conference. It's typed out on an old typewriter. It's entitled, My Bible and I. We traveled together, my Bible and I, through all kinds of weather, with smile or with sigh, in sorrow or in sunshine, in tempest or calm, thy friendship unchanging, my lamp and my song. We traveled together, my Bible and I, when life had grown weary and death even was nigh, but all through the darkness of mist or of wrong, I found there a solace, a prayer, and a song. So now who shall part us, my Bible and I? Shall ism or schisms or new lights who try? Shall shadow or substance or stone for good bread supplant thy sound wisdom, give folly instead? No, my dear Bible, exponent of light, thy sword of spirit put error to flight. And still through life's journey until my last sigh, we'll travel together, my Bible and I. That's in the front of my Bible everywhere that I go. Deuteronomy in chapter 29, verse 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. My subject is the perspicuity of the Word of God, or of God's Word. Perspicuity, that word comes from a Latin word that literally means to see through. To see through. By perspicuity, we mean clearness or clarity, openness, plainness, understandability. In short, we mean that the Bible is a plain book. Our text verse mentions two things. Secret things that belong unto the Lord, and revealed things that belong unto us. There are many, many secret things of God that are hidden from us. There are many things that are secret to God that are none of our business. And it is an exercise in futility to try to dig into those secret things of God. The results will always be speculations and assumptions and error. When you try to dig into those secret things of God. But thankfully, in the same verse, we read about revealed things. And it is these revealed things that belong unto us and to our children. And I will not overlook that. It belong unto us and to our children. If you'll notice in verse 29, that last phrase is a clause of purpose. It informs us why there are revealed things that belong unto us and our children. And I'll tell you this at the outset, and I hope you already know it and understand it, God does not give us to reveal things in order just to satisfy our curiosity, but rather to inform us of truth and inform us of our duty unto Him and our responsibility. And those things seem to be omitted much today in churches of our generation, duty and responsibility. But notice in verse 29, this clause of purpose, that we may do all the words of this law. Revealed things belong unto us, and you and I would do very well to look into the revealed things. It has been established during this conference and established very well that the Bible that you are holding is the Word of God, and make no mistake about that. The Bible is the Word of God. It is a revelation from God. Everything in this Bible is the Word of God, revealed by God, and if God did not reveal it, we would not have it. So it is a revelation, and it belongs unto us. The doctrine of the perspicuity of the Word of God simply maintains that this revelation is clear and plain. The understanding of God's Word is not something that is reserved for the very elite and most highly educated. It's not reserved for church hierarchy. It's not reserved for a special group of people and the common people being left out. I will use through this message, I'm sure, the phrase ordinary believers, and that includes us. That's us. And by that I mean that the revelation and the understanding of the Word of God is not left up to a church hierarchy or bishops or a pope to tell us what the Word of God says. It's simple and plain enough for you and I to read it and understand it. Now, the Church of Rome has been mentioned several times during this conference, and I think rightly so, because they have over the years and generations made great attacks upon the Word of God. And they have endeavored to keep the Word of God from ordinary believers. I want to read you something from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and it says this: the task of interpretation has been entrusted to the bishops in communion with the successor of Peter, the Bishop of Rome. In other words, the only way you can know what the Bible says or means is for them to tell you what the Bible says or means. Well, I deny that. There's no such hint of that in the Word of God. Again, when I speak of perspicuity and clearness, that clearness is not the same thing as simplicity. You might want to look up definitions there. The Bible is so clear, and I'm going to say this, especially when it comes to the matter of salvation, that anyone with the ability to read can read the words of Scripture and understand what it says. When it comes to what is involved in the salvation of a sinner, I would think anyone can read, hear, read John 3:16 and understand what it says. When the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, there's nothing difficult to understand there. That is clear. When the question was asked in Acts 16. What must I do to be saved? The answer is clear and plain. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's perspicuity when it comes to clearness, clarity in the matter of salvation. And again, there's nothing difficult in that at all. When the Apostle Paul would write about that faithful saying, how that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, can we not all understand that? I would think the smallest child here, other than an infant, could understand that. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul would also write how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that's the gospel, how all that happened. There's no mysterious clauses there or words that are hard to be understood. Perspicuity just says that what God says in these matters is clear. This scripture has been referred to several times, but we're not going to wear it out. I'm going back to 2 Timothy and in chapter 3. In 2 Timothy and in chapter 3, and I'll begin in verse 14. If Paul did write these words unto Timothy, he said, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Now notice the next words. "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." Now if the Word of God was not clear and plain and understandable, would it be possible that from a child, Timothy could know the Holy Scriptures? In verse 15, "Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." If the Scripture could not be understood by even a child, if it could not be understood by all of us here, could it possibly make you wise unto salvation? If you could not read it and understand it, could it make you wise unto salvation? Paul said here that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. You know, one thing that most cults have in common is the belief that only the leader, whoever it may be, can understand and interpret the Scripture. And it's up to that cult leader to tell everyone else what the Bible says and what the Bible means. The doctrine of perspicuity denies that and says it's clear and plain enough for you and I to read and understand. I believe those men that walked with Jesus Christ here upon this earth, those called of God, the Bible says they were ignorant and unlearned men. You think about that. Ignorant and unlearned men. Not to say anything against education, nothing wrong with that, but I tell you, you don't need a college degree to read and understand your Bible. You don't need that. When we deal with perspicuity, in 2 Peter, and in chapter 3, 2 Peter and in chapter 3, verse 15, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to be understood. There are several things here I could deal with, but I won't, but I will just mention. I find it interesting here when I read this in these words of Peter as he speaks about the writings of Paul. Evidently, Peter read the writings of Paul and was very familiar with them. And he says that Paul, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to be understood. And there are some things in the Scripture that are hard to be understood. But notice, it's not an impossibility, it's just a difficulty. Hard to be understood. But yet, I'm going to say again, just for emphasis, that does not include those things necessary to be believed in the matter of salvation. Those things are not hard to be understood. Those things are clear and simple in the Scriptures. I want to mention seven things concerning perspicuity, and I don't have time to deal with all of them, but I do want to mention them. The Word of God can be understood, but, and I've got seven of these, but not all at once. When God saved you, He did not open up some magical hole on your head, stick a funnel up there, and start pouring truth in. Our brother spoke this morning about the Word and sanctification. As surely as sanctification is progressive, so is your knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. You don't get it all at once. And God is gracious in that. We can't take it all at once. We can't absorb it. We can't stand it all at once. We're not ready for it all at once. We have to grow in these things. But I'm going to mention more about this. The Word of God can be understood, but not without effort. You know, you have to put forth a little effort. The idea of some is, well, the preacher does all the studying. My Bible's like my Sunday clothes. I just use it once a week, you know, on Sunday, and I bring it to church, and it's up to that preacher to do the studying, and he'll tell me everything I need to know. But it takes effort if you want to know the Word of God. Effort. Brother Cozart mentioned in his message, study. Study. There's effort that is involved. The Word of God can be understood, and I'll deal with this in a moment, but not without means. Not without means. Not without a willingness to learn. I don't care how long you've been a Christian or how long you've been a preacher. That does not matter. Anytime and every time you approach this book, you need to come with reverence and with a student's heart. A student's heart. To learn. Learn. You're not going to master this book. You come to learn from it and to grow from it. The Word of God can be understood, but not without the aid of the Holy Spirit. And I'll mention more about that in a few moments. The Word of God can be known, but not without misunderstanding. The Word of God can be known, but never completely. Never completely. You and I will never know all the things that God knows. I don't ever expect to know this Bible completely. People say, well, one day we'll understand it all. Well, I don't really think so. We'll understand what God wants us to understand. We'll know what God wants us to understand. I said the Word of God can be understood, but not all at once. There's a different diet for a babe in Christ and a mature Christian. The babe in Christ needs the milk, but cannot digest the meat. It takes a little while to grow. There's that progressive sanctification and spiritual growth in grace and in knowledge of our Lord increases. You're able to then partake of the meat. You were not ready for it at once. The mature Christian still likes that glass of milk, but is also able to digest the meat. And the Word of God just opens up more and more and becomes clearer and clearer as we mature in the things of God. And again, it's progressive. Look in John chapter 16, if you would. I think it's stated pretty clearly here. In John chapter 16, notice what Jesus said in verse 12. And he speaks to his disciples. He said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. That's the way we are. There's some things you just can't bear when you're a babe in Christ. You're a new Christian. There's some things you cannot bear now that the Lord may reveal to you and open it up to you later on. He's not going to give you what you can't bear. And we need to understand that. And this is part of those reveal things. And I'll say this. If you want to know more, if you want to know more, read and study more. You ever tried that? Be faithful in attendance in the house of God. Be faithful where the Word of God is faithfully preached. I said the Word of God can be unknown and understood, but not without means. God does use means in giving us understanding. Some people in their professed belief of the sovereignty of God want to disallow all means, and they just go right off the cliff into error. I believe in a sovereign God as much as anybody here, but I also know He's a God of means. Go back to Nehemiah in the Old Testament, if you would. Nehemiah chapter 8, and in verse 8. Notice how God uses means. Nehemiah 8, verse 8. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. That's God using means to reveal His Word. And that's what we are to do as God called preachers. Read in the book of the law of God distinctly and give the sense. Cause them to understand the reading. Much of the time of God-called preachers is spent studying where they can stand at the appointed time in the pulpit, read the Word of God, and give the sense. That's what we're to do. That's what we're to do. That's what this conference has been about. The Word of God. In the book of Titus, And in chapter 1, one of the qualifications of a pastor is to be apt to teach. Do you remember that? Apt to teach. The office is the office of pastor-teacher. Pastor-teacher. That's the office in the Lord's church. Out to teach. Somebody told me one time, well, the qualifications given for a deacon and for a pastor are all the same. I said, go back and read it again. Go back and read it again. It is not. You won't find where the deacon's to be out to teach, but you'll find where that pastor, the elder, is to be out to teach. It's his responsibility to teach. God uses means, is what I'm saying. Paul was not only an apostle and a preacher, Paul was a teacher. But I want to read this in Titus in chapter 1. And I began in verse 1. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. What did God do? Manifested his word through preaching. There's something about preaching that's just sanctioned, ordained of God as his way to manifest his word. And I'll say again, if you want to know more of the word of God, be in a true church of God that preaches the word of God, set under sound preaching, that's where God manifests his word. People say, well, I sit home, I worship with my Bible at home. Well, you try it and see how it works for you. If you've got a hunger and thirst after righteousness, you're going to find out that does not work, and you're going to wind up in a true Baptist church somewhere. Because God will give you that hunger for the Word of God. And that's where you're going to find it. I said the Word of God could be known, but not without the Holy Spirit. And by that I do not mean that it cannot be known intellectually. An infidel can memorize the Scripture and then go to hell. But the understanding of the Scripture, never disallow the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Lydia was a woman that was extraordinary, it seems. She had left home and she was in the company of others that were not of her people, but she wound up by a riverside in a prayer meeting. Through the providence of God, Paul went to this prayer meeting. And Lydia, an educated woman, a businesswoman, could not understand a thing he was saying until God opened her heart. And then she could attend unto the things that were spoken by Paul. Never discount the work of the Holy Spirit of God. I'll give you an example, a personal example. I've been to places and preached to people who have never, and I emphasize never, heard the gospel. I've been to places and preached to people who have never heard the name Jesus. I've been to places and preached to people that had no concept of deity at all. None. They didn't even believe in any false gods. No concept of deity. People with no education, could not read, not one day of schooling. I'm just telling you, these are remote people that have never had contact with religion. They've never heard. We cannot imagine in our country people that have never heard some form of the gospel, who have not heard the name Jesus. But I'm telling you, I've been to places and seen people that have never heard. And I've stood and just preached the Word of God. And I've seen the Holy Spirit take the preached Word, convict and save people. And they're still faithful today. Never discount the Holy Spirit of God. You know, you might say, well, those people could never learn. They don't have education. I don't have time to carry them through the steps that they ought to go through, you know. Well, we're just told to preach the Word. The Holy Spirit of God can do all those things we can't do. And the Holy Spirit can take the Word of God when it's preached aright and make it so clear to those people. So clear. I've seen some of those people that were animists, and, you know, I call it spirit worship, and I've seen them cut those spirit worshiping strings off, and invariably they'll say, we're free. We're free. Who made that word so clear to them? Not this boy from Mississippi. It's the Holy Spirit of God. All I did was carry the Word. And we said at this conference, just preach, here's what thus saith the Lord. And it's up to the Holy Spirit to make it clear and real to an individual. Never, never discount the working of the Holy Spirit of God. I said that the Word of God could be understood, and I can't even read that clock. But not without misunderstanding. And that seems to be a misnomer. But we make mistakes. We misunderstand. We are finite people with such limited minds and understanding, and we're dealing with an infinite God and a holy, perfect Word, and we're going to make mistakes. I can assure you that we're going to make mistakes. I remember Brother Elvis Gregory, when he preached my ordination, he looked at me and pointed his finger at me and he said, Brother Lee, 20 years from now you're going to look back and you're going to wonder why people didn't run you off for some of the things you preached. And he said, you're going to think that you're so right. And that's true. That happens. When you deal with a perfect book, a perfect God, and we're so finite, we'll make mistakes, but we'll grow from them. We'll learn from them. It's an ignorant and arrogant individual. I'll say in particular a preacher, because I've heard the preachers say this. And they say it in kind of a boasting way, and they don't realize they're manifesting their ignorance. And that's the way preachers are sometimes. But I've heard preachers say, I've been preaching 40 years, 50 years, and I'm still preaching the same thing that I was when I started. Well, what you found is a preacher that does not study and one that's never grown. If you study, you'll grow, as this book will. It'll cause you to grow. Just get in it and read it and study it. Go with me to Matthew, and I know I'm running out of time. Matthew in chapter 12. when we make mistakes and we misunderstand and we say we can't understand, always understand the fault's not in the Bible, the fault's with us. It's our depravity. It's our old sin nature. Some people say, well, I just can't understand this and I can't understand that. And I try to be like Jesus in this matter and ask him, well, have you ever read? You know, you've taken Brother So-and-so's word for this, and you've taken what the church believes and what Grandma believed and all that. Have you ever read it for yourself? Evidently, Jesus thought that the Scripture was pretty clear and plain. Matthew chapter 12, verse 3. But he said unto them, have you not read? I like that. Have you not read? Verse 5. Have you not read in the law? You know what Jesus is asking them? Have you not read the Bible? You have all these doctrines here and doctrines there. You have all this misunderstanding and you want to know this and that. Have you not read the Scripture? Look in chapter 19 and in verse 4. Matthew 19 and in verse 4, he answered and said unto them, have you not read? Have you not read? Sometimes I have people maybe question what I preach and say, well, I just don't understand it that way. And, you know, I've sat in my office and I've been there all week studying for Sunday. I put in hours and hours of research and study, and here's somebody that hadn't opened their Bible all week and tell me, Brother Lee, I just don't see it that way. Have you never read Matthew 22? Verse 31. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read? You know, by his questions, it seems to me to imply that the Scripture's clear, the Scripture's plain. All you got to do is read it. And he said, have you not read? In chapter 22, the same book, and in verse 29, he said, you do err not knowing the Scripture nor the power of God. Where does the error come from? Where does the misunderstanding come from? You don't know the Scripture. Why don't you know it? Well, you hadn't read it. Have you not read? John chapter 3 was mentioned. Nicodemus, you remember what Jesus said to him? Are you a master of Israel and you don't know these things? Very same thing if he had said, have you not read? Now, you're the teacher of Israel, but you don't know these things? Going to Psalm 119. We've been there before, haven't we? Psalm 119. I'm at verse 105. Thy word is a lamp under my feet and a light under my path. It's not darkness. It's not cloudiness. It don't cloud the matter. The Scripture says it's a lamp. It's a light. That's clarity. The Scripture sheds a lot of light. It'll shed a lot of light on your life, your belief, your doctrine, your practice. It's a lamp. It's a light. In the book of 2 Peter and in chapter 1, in 2 Peter and in chapter 1 and in verse 19, Peter says, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Once again, a light. How could you take heed to it if it was not clear and plain? We've seen several times 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. How could it be profitable if you could not understand it? If you were to read it and just, I'm talking about a child of God that has the Holy Spirit. If you were to read it and just say, I don't have a clue what that means, would that be profitable to you? Perspicuity simply means it's clear. But I said it will take some effort for you. Those things that are necessary for salvation, they're just as clear as they can be. The saints at Berea were more noble than those at Thessalonica, in that they would receive the word of God with readiness of mind, but you know what they'd do next? They'd search the Scripture, the word of God, to see if those things were so or not. If the Scripture could not be understood by the ordinary Christian, how could they do that? You have a responsibility. You've heard a lot of preaching during this conference. You can take the Word of God, check everything every preacher said, and see if it's so or not. You do not have to take any preacher's word for anything. You have a Bible. Use it. Lord Justice.